And hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Conquest Chronicles. This is Matt here, along with Dina. And for week 2 of the season, week 2, felt like, well, week 1 was just last week, but it felt like the off-season dragged on pretty slow. Now we're flying through the week. Coming up this week, we have Stanford. The Stanford Cardinal come to town for the annual season opener between the two programs. Historic, had some historic clashes through the years. And now these two teams, they're going to go at it again. Going to be an interesting game. So let's go ahead. Let's jump to it. Dina, how are you doing? How are you recovering from last weekend?
Yeah, last weekend, it was good. It was, everyone knows how frustrating it was, and especially with JT going down, but I am excited. I'm very excited for Keaton Slovis.
Yeah, it was. I'm excited to see what he brings to the table, too, especially it's going to be a stiff test against Stanford. Stanford, they have a really decent defense, held Northwestern to 7 points. Although Northwestern don't have the most prolific offense out there, but Keaton Slovis actually he didn't look too bad. But now we get to see what he can do for the Trojans moving on and moving forward. I know, Dina and I were at the game, so we saw it from a different standpoint. We had our initial reactions to it, although we had a guy behind us who really was bugging the mess out of me.
He was just being loud and obnoxious.
According to him, Dina, I didn't see all of last season. He asked us if we saw last season. I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, he asked me specifically. He's like, did you watch this team last season? I was like, yeah. I'm like, why would I be here if I didn't watch this team last season?
Why would
I be sitting here? I guess he was getting upset about Ben Griffith. And what it turned out with Ben Griffith, from that game was that it was actually the game plan. It wasn't that he was bad. It was actually the game plan. So he was basically coached to not kick the ball out the stadium, as we were hearing. So apparently that was part of the game plan.
Yeah, I don't know why that would be, though. It's kind of weird.
I guess it is, but I don't know if it's because Fresno State's return guy was what it was, or I don't know what it was, but I guess it was because of where they were positioned, because USC was actually moving the ball. They were actually moving the ball not that bad. Even with Slovis in the game, they were moving the ball pretty good.
Yeah, Keaton really only had that one bad throw when him and Michael Pittman were not on the same page.
Right.
but for the most part, they ran the ball with him when he came into the game. I think the offense was a lot better than last season. I think they showed improvement there. I think, it's not the offense that worries me. It's kind of the defense that is going to worry me this season.
Mm-hmm. I would say the offense was more of you kind of knew it. You knew it was going to move the ball.
Yeah, I think for the offense, as long as we can, not go 3 and out, more often than we convert. We had a lot of 3 and outs. We did have a lot of 3 and outs towards the end of the game.
We did. Yeah, USC did. And I honestly think, as you mentioned, I don't think, if you look at it again, if you watch it again, I don't think the offense did bad.
I don't think they were bad. They just didn't finish. Yeah, they didn't capitalize on some. We could have been up like 28 What was Fresno State score at half? Like 14 or 7?
No, it was, I want to say it was like 6 or something like that.
We could have been up by a few more touchdowns for sure at halftime. We left some points on the board.
And it was the thing I think that also hurt them. Although USC committed only 4 penalties, it was the penalties that wiped away the big plays.
Yeah, we didn't commit that many. We had like what, 4 for 32 yards or something like that. What made it seem like we had a lot was the refs kept stopping the game. Like what, that whole entire first half, it was like every other drive was a penalty. I think the refs made it look worse than it was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
The first half lasted 2 hours.
We didn't get out the Coliseum until
3 hours. Did the first quarter last an hour? The first quarter lasted an hour, an hour and a half.
It did, and we didn't get out the Coliseum until 12, about 12.
Yeah, we got out. Yeah, we got out pretty late. But yeah, I'm impressed. I was happy with the offensive line. People I've seen on Twitter, someone said how they were impressed with the offensive line, and then someone else tweeted how well they let Fresno State fall on JT, but it's not their fault. I mean, anyone who blames the offensive line for his injuries.
It was a freak thing. Here's the thing that people got to understand with that. It was a freak thing. So it was one of those things where you don't expect it to happen. You know, the line have played outstanding outside of that point.
Right. That was really like the first time he had been sacked.
Yes.
The whole game.
How many sacks did they get? I only think they didn't give up many sacks.
No, I don't think, because he, and JT was very mobile this compared to last year. I mean, he came out the gate. He was evading. We were joking around like, oh, Sam? Sam, is that you?
Because he was evading a lot of sacks, so.
Yeah.
With this game, now we're past this game. We're looking at the upcoming game against Stanford, a big game. Usually an early critical game for USC. They come to the Coliseum. However, Stanford comes into the Coliseum limping. They lost their starting tackle and Walker Little. They're all Pac-12 starting tackle and Walker Little. And they also lose KJ Costello. But I think losing Walker Little is actually the bigger blow than losing Costello. But they're both it's both a blow to them. So they're without him. They're going to be without him. But goodness, it's like a battle of the backups right now. What can you expect from Stanford?
Coming
into the game.
Yeah, I've never been high on KJ Costello, so I'm kind of worried actually facing Davis Mills, just because I've only heard good things about him. He was a four or five star recruit. They lost some key players to the draft. JJ Arcega-Whiteside, Sean Barton, their inside linebacker. But, I think it's still going to be physical just because their tackle and quarterback is out. I think it's still going to be a physical game. I think it's still going to be close. I don't think anyone's going to blow either team out.
Right.
Their special teams last year was pretty good. They created good field position. Their field position margin was, plus 4.6 yards per drive. So that was the best in the Pac-12 and 16th in FBS. So they have a good special teams. They don't have a not that I don't think they have really a big name back this year. Not like Bryce Love for the past couple of years.
They have Cameron Scarlett, who's pretty good in between the tackles. He may not be a Heisman guy, but he's the prototypical Stanford back.
Who else? Let's see.
I mean, if you think about it, and here's something that you mentioned this, Dina, earlier. You just mentioned it, actually. It's worrisome because you think about the backup quarterback, and you're like, crap.
You don't really know how to prepare for him because you've never seen him. So that's what kind of scares me.
But you can say the same thing about – and here's the thing. You can say the same thing about Keaton – excuse me. You can say the same thing about Keaton Slovis.
Right. Right, but our defense is what worries me.
Right. And I'm not worried about the defense going up the like going north and south. I'm not so much worried about that. I'm worried about the defense going east and west because that's right. Where Fresno State
exploited Trojans. Yeah.
A lot of reverses. And I think you're going to see a lot of reverses because if you really think about it, are they really going to let Davis Mills, are they really going to go with, oh, we're going to air it out with Davis Mills? Do you really think that with young receivers too?
No.
And you're missing your tackle against that front seven, against USC's front seven?
Yeah, and luckily Davis Mills is in a dual threat like Fresno mm-hmm. States was.
Yeah, because they made George.
We could have had so many sacks last week if we had just, you know, managed to tame him.
They made George Reyna look like a freaking they made him look like Vince Young or right. Sam Darnold himself. But Mills, I don't think Mills is a dual threat.
No, he's not. He's a pro style quarterback.
So if USC can get pressure, and that's what it boils down to, USC has to get pressure.
Yeah, they have to get pressure. They have to make Davis Mills make mistakes, and it shouldn't be too hard with this being his first start. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's just going to come down to who protects the ball better because we did give it up a lot last week.
How many times did USC turn the ball over? What was the final count on turnovers? I don't think it was that much.
It seemed like it was. Let me see.
Because I know the two picks. Oh, it was three. USC, I think, turned the ball over three times. Because Tyler Vaughns had a fumble and the two interceptions. The one by Daniels and the one by Slovis. Oh, no. Four turnovers.
I was going to say, Daniels. It seemed like Vaughns.
Daniels actually, when Daniels got injured, he fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
But with Daniels, and that's kind of hard to sit there and to really, it's a turnover, don't get me wrong, but you can't really fault Daniels because your knee is going the other way. Your leg is going the other way, and you're tearing your ACL.
Right.
So with that amount of pain, really you'd sit there and you would think, oh, he's not, you know, why would he fumble the ball? Well, you try holding on to the ball and getting, you know, and getting hit like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times when we play Stanford, it's who's more physical. I think this week it's going to be who protects the ball more.
Yeah. Better. Yeah, that's what I think too. I honestly think that I truly believe this is going to be a very close game. This is going to be a really close game. And I think this is what I think it boils down to because USC is very pass happy. We all know that. USC is a pass happy offense now. As much as people wanted USC to balance the game out and do all of that, as much as what they wanted USC to do that, this is an air raid. This is a pass happy offense. So this is what we're going to see.
Yeah, I do want to see more Amon-Ra St. Brown and more Michael Pittman targets. Actually, I really want to see Muniru McClain.
I do, too. He was in the game, but he didn't get any targets.
Yeah, I want to see that. And I do want to see Marquis Stepp. I think he could open up some some holes for us.
Yes. And I was confused why we didn't see much of him. Like I didn't understand why we didn't see much of Marquis Stepp.
I think it's just because Carr and Malapai were on fire, so I mean there's no reason.
Yeah, you can't take the ball out of their hand and go with a 3-back rotate. I mean, if one of them's not going, we could see it, but
I want to see Stepp on the goal line. I want to see because he's such a big kid.
Yes. I would love to see that. But I guess with Malapai, how the way he was running too. And Carr looked very good. Though I did say Stephen Carr is giving off some very Reggie Bush vibes in this game right now.
Yeah, he was very evasive.
He was making people miss. Like, he made so many people miss. It was surprising because he stopped on a dime and somebody fell and he was gone. Like, that's what you want to see. And that's what we've been wanting to see from Carr. I know people are wanting to see the big runs, the long runs and everything. But that's what you want to see from Carr. If he's making people miss, he's getting extra yards that way. He's already elusive enough.
Right.
He is slippery and elusive enough to where you're like, hold on, you know? But
yeah, for the first time since Adoree Jackson, I was impressed with our kick returns.
Yes. Matter of fact, wasn't that kick return, and I meant to ask you this, wasn't that kick return the first since Adoree, was it like the first since Adoree Jackson?
Wasn't
that the first kick return since 2016? Because nobody returned a kick in we didn't have a kick return in 2017, didn't we?
I don't know.
I want to say that's the first kick return since 2016, since Adoree Jackson did it against Notre Dame. I don't think.
Yeah, Velus Jones returned. Looked really comfortable in that role.
I agree. I 100% agree on that.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
150%. Oh, well, I'm really going out of bounds saying 150, but you get the point. I agree with it 100%. But in your opinion, Dina, what are some keys to the game for USC? And who do you think wins this game?
I think keys to the game, for sure, you got to protect the football. I think USC is going to need its veteran receivers to step up and make plays. I think, you know, especially with a true freshman starting quarterback, he's going to need Michael Pittman and Tyler Vaughns to go up and get some balls. And as for the defense, I think we just got to protect people from escaping. Like you said, it's the East and West that's worrying with them. You know, they did pretty good stuffing the run up the middle, but when it got to the outside, that's where they scared me.
I agree a lot. I think it boils down to, as you said it, I think it boils down to, trying to think. It boils down to putting pressure on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to put pressure on the quarterback and force him to make mistakes or rattle him. You rattle him, then that's where...
This could be Drake Jackson's real moment to shine.
Exactly.
This could be his breakout game.
But it also, they're going to have to stop the run, too.
Right.
They have to stop the run because Stanford's going to rely on that run with a new quarterback. They're going to rely on the run a lot. They're going to rely on the run game. So they're going to have to contain the running game. They're going to have to make sure and slow down the run game a lot. Mm-hmm. Slow down Cameron Scarlett. Make sure he don't get off. Make sure they don't move the ball like that. And then when they score, they're going to have to finish drives, and they're going to have to get up on Stanford. They can get up on Stanford. They can end this game very, you know, very, how can I put it? They're going to have to get on, they're going to have to get up on them very soon.
Yeah. USC can't afford to, what's it called? They can't afford to leave it to the last minute.
Yes. That's what they did against Fresno State.
Right, honestly. And they need to put the teams away. And we had a chance last week and we didn't do it. And it's going to be harder this week just because it's Stanford. You know, they just got to be physical and keep their foot on the gas pedal.
Oh, I agree. Wholeheartedly.
I mean, there's really no reason why we can't win this game or why we shouldn't. We're at home. You know, Stanford has its own backup quarterback in. We have the better receivers, the veteran receivers. You know, the only thing that's not in our favor really is, you know, our young defense. But
that's what scares me is the defense. Though the defense is young, that's what it is.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of the easier Stanford USC matchups.
I wouldn't say easy, because every time I think USC should win by three scores or more, every time I think USC should win by three scores or more, they tend to be in a dogfight. And every time I think USC is going to lose to Stanford, they tend to surprise me. So I don't know.
Score prediction, I'm going to say 2017 USC.
I'm going to say 24, I'm going to say 24-27 Stanford. I just don't see, and granted, USC should win this. They should. But every time we say they should do something, like USC should have blown out Fresno State, mm-hmm. but they did. I just feel USC, I don't trust the defense enough. There's enough, like, looking at that game, there's not enough for me to trust. There's not enough for me to trust USC against a Stanford team who is really well coached. And I think it's going to boil down to defense. It's going to boil down to what the defense do. I think this is, I want to say this game is going to be lower scoring, but it's not going to be a 17 to 3 game like last year.
Right.
And not to mention every time a USC player has their debut game against Stanford, it doesn't go well. I don't know why, but I think Keaton is different. I think Keaton will have his moment, but I just think Stanford will prepare well, even though they don't do well against the air raid. That's another thing we got to look at.
Or they Coliseum.
Yeah, that too. But they do not do well against the air raid at all. They do not perform well against the air raid. So I think this is where we will see USC will move the ball, but how many times will they shoot themselves in the foot? It's just going to boil down to whose defense can make a stop.
Mm-hmm.
I trust and to be honest, although I haven't seen Stanford's defense, I trust them a whole heck of a lot more than I do our own defense, than I do USC's defense. So I think that's where the edge is. I give the edge to Stanford.
Right, yeah. I do give them the defensive edge as well.
Though I think Pendergast will dial up something to put pressure on the quarterback and to stop that run game. I do think that's going to happen. I do think we'll see that. And if they do, then USC should have no issue winning this game. If USC can win this game, they go 2-0 going into BYU. And we've seen BYU.
BYU has a solid-ish defense. It's their quarterback that's going to hopefully give us the edge.
Who throws like Uncle Rico.
Yeah, he's very careless.
He is careless with the ball. He is giving me vibes of that I just don't like. But, I mean, we'll see how this goes. We'll see how it goes. Quick picks before we call it a day, because we didn't get any questions. So I want to make some quick predictions. Last week, how were we last week, honestly? We weren't that bad last week, were we?
No, I don't think so.
I think the only thing we didn't – obviously, I got the USC scores 50 points wrong.
Yeah,
that was super –
you were wrong about UCLA, too.
Oh, yeah, I did say UCLA. Oh, my God. I was so wrong on that one. Chip Kelly stealing people's money. All right. So we have games here. We're not going to go – let's skip, like, Utah and San Diego State.
Right.
We're going to skip those games. Northern Colorado and Washington State. So, we just picked USC Stanford, I think, which is the better game on the in the slate on the Pac-12. Nebraska and Colorado. Game is at Boulder. Colorado won that game, I believe, handedly over Nebraska. Game is in Boulder, old Big 8, Big 12 rivalry between the two. Who wins between Nebraska and Colorado?
Last year, was Adrian Martinez not in when they played?
I don't think he was.
Yeah, I'm going to take Nebraska. I've never been high on Colorado, and I never will be high on Colorado. But, I'm taking Nebraska. I think Martinez is impressive, and down the stretch last season, they really improved.
I got Nebraska. I'm going to go with Nebraska. Wouldn't be shocked if Colorado wins. The game is in Boulder. However, Nebraska, I believe, is better this year. Better than last year. They're, you know, especially with Scott Frost, he's going to turn that thing around at Nebraska. I go Nebraska by 2 scores. Next game, we got Nevada and Oregon. Game is in Austin. Oregon coming off the loss against Auburn. Against how the heck they lost that game, I don't know. But coming off a loss against Auburn. Nevada 1-0 after nailing a game-winning kick to win their game.
Against Purdue.
Against Purdue. Who do you have in that one?
I think Oregon. I don't think Nevada has has a chance.
I got Oregon big. Yeah. Oregon covers. Oregon's is a 24-point favorite. I think Oregon covers. Next game, Cal at Washington. This is a rematch of last year's game that took place out at Cal. That took place at Cal in Berkeley. Cal won that game. They upset Washington at a game I was at, actually. I was at that game where they upset the Bears. Washington's favored by 13.5. Game is in Seattle. Who do you have in that one?
I think I'm taking Washington. I think the Washington by 13.5 is pretty accurate.
I got UW. This is going to be tough because Cal actually got a decent secondary. Cal has one of the best secondaries in the Pac-12. But I'm going to go Washington. I don't think Washington covers. I think Washington wins by 10 because I do think that secondary might give them fits. So I'm going to go Washington by 2 scores. Washington wins by 10. And then last but not least, Oregon State at Hawaii. Hawaii already beat a Pac-12 school in Arizona. They stopped Cleo Tate, who almost got in the end zone scrambling. Now they play another bottom feeding Pac-12 team in Oregon State, who lost to the Cowboys.
Who's starting for Hawaii? Is it Cole McDonald, or is it the guy who his backup that came in?
That is a great, I have no clue. That is a great question.
Either way, I think Hawaii's going to win this one. I think they have a better chance if they start the backup, though. I was very impressed by him.
I'm going with the Rainbow Warriors of Hawaii at Aloha Stadium. I think they beat another Pac-12 school, and after they beat this Pac-12 school, they send an application to join the Pac-12. And then we get two teams in the Pac-12. Let's get Boise State and Hawaii, so we can have our annual trips to Hawaii.
What about, let's pick the biggest game of the week, LSU at Texas.
Oh, you're unfair on that one because I cannot pick that. I don't know who to pick. Oddly enough, I wanted to go to this game, but I saw ticket prices and I'm like,
yeah, me too. I'm very impressed with Texas. I think they're going to win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I do think they're going to win. I am very high on Sam Ellinger, and I'm very, he does the same thing to a team that Sam Darnold did. He's very similar.
I'm not as high on Texas as you are, believe it or not. I honestly believe Texas is, in my opinion, I think Texas is overrated. However, I'm not as high on LSU either.
Yeah, I think Joe Burrow's overrated.
So, there's got to be a conclusion here. I'm going to go with LSU. I think LSU goes into Austin and beats Texas by a touchdown. I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be low. You know what? I'm not going to say it's low scoring, but I don't think it's going to be high scoring.
I don't think it's going to be low scoring. If I had to pick, I think it's going to be on the high scoring side, just because, Sam Ellinger is such a good dual threat.
Yeah. Sam Ellinger can play. Don't get me wrong. He can play. I just don't think – I think Texas ends up losing this game. But Texas in big game, especially under Tom Herman, is no joke. So that's why Tom Herman may shut me up. I thought USC would beat Texas last year in Texas, and that didn't play out well. But other than that, that will be all for us this for this episode. Make sure you guys take a listen to us on Spotify or Apple Podcast. What is it?
It's podcast. It's called podcast.
Apple Podcast or Google Play, or you can listen to us on Megaphone. Follow us on Twitter at CChroniclesSBN. You can also follow me on Twitter at Matt A. Lowry.
You can follow me at Always Compete.
And enjoy the game this weekend. Fight on, everybody.
Fight on.
What the heck is